I see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
God's blessings, and welcome to Walking in Faith. We are in the 27th week of Ordinary Time. And this week we proclaim, within your will, O Lord, all things are established, and there is none that can resist your will. For you have made all things, the heaven and the earth, and all that is held within the circle of heaven. You are the Lord of all. Our prayer this week, Almighty ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads, and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Well, joining us today, we have three interviews. We're going to be speaking with Father Michael Carroll and Mary Jo Timlin-Hoag, as well as Trishe will be joining us. They are from the Miraculous Metal Shrine here in Philadelphia. They're here to talk about the upcoming 170th anniversary gala taking place in Philadelphia in October. And they'll be talking about the longstanding tradition that the Miraculous Metal has right here in Philadelphia. Also, we'll be speaking with Gloria Coyne. She's here to talk about an upcoming Catholic Charismatic Renewal retreat coming to Philadelphia this weekend. She'll be joining us later. And then finally, we'll be speaking with Sonia Corbett. She is the author of a book called How to Pray Like Mary. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. But right now, we'll start with prayer. We ask that the breath of the Holy Spirit will engender a new missionary spring in the Church, and that's the Holy Father's intention for the month of October. We also ask that those who hold public office will imitate the goodness of God, who secures justice and the rights of the oppressed. We pray that during this Respect Life Month, which is the month of October, we will work fervently to advance the gospel of life. We also pray that our parish will grow in faith, hope, and love through deeper devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Holy Rosary. We pray for blessings on all husbands and wives, and that the Lord will strengthen marriages that are in trouble. We ask also for the grace this week to have greater faith in Jesus and an eagerness to serve Him. Loving Father, let the peace of heaven that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and minds through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, after this short break, we'll be right back with Father Michael Carroll, Mary Jo Timlin-Hoag, and Trishe from the Miraculous Metal Shrine here in Philadelphia. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Right now we're joined by Father Michael Carroll, Mary Jo Timlin-Hoag, and Trishe from the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Philadelphia. We're here to talk about an upcoming 170th anniversary gala taking place October 12th. And welcome, Father. We wanted to talk a little bit about the great history that the Vincentian Fathers have here in Philadelphia. It's quite storied, isn't it?
Absolutely. We just celebrated 200 years, our arrival on the East Coast. We arrived in Baltimore, and we went right away to Missouri, though. Made our way back around 1845 to Philadelphia.
I was going to say, you were probably one of the first orders that came in the city.
Yes, we were.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that and the affiliation you had with regards to the needs of immigrant communities, people who were just coming here from other places.
Well, I think, our mission here in Philadelphia in 1849, St. Vincent de Paul Parish, that was a parish of immigrants. It was Italians and Irish, and it was not a welcoming time. 1849, they talk about that the embers and the fires of the Know-Nothing were still burning in those days. And so there were signs up and down Germantown Avenue where we are, Irish, Italian, need not apply, Catholics need not apply.
Mm.
And so, the people we ministered to in those days are same way many of the people who are members of our society today are suffering.
Yes, indeed. And you do such tremendous work down there, and it's a great honor to have you in the Philadelphia area. I want to talk a little bit. We're going to be talking about this upcoming anniversary gala, but I do want to talk a little bit about the Miraculous Medal. Through the years, so many people have such a devotion to this through the Vincentian community there. And I expect that when you have your anniversary, so many people will be coming from many and sundry parts of the area because they have such great memories of being there and participating in the novena every Monday.
It's absolutely amazing. As you travel around the city and even beyond the city, you meet people who talk about, you know, how they were raised in the shrine. Now, my own mother brought us here. You know, after school on Mondays, we'd come down in the car, we'd park on the side street here, we'd all have to get in line for confession and then attend the novena. It was just a part of who we were. It was a natural for me when I felt God was calling me to be a priest that I went to the Vincentians.
And Mary, we want to talk a little bit about what's the anniversary. Talk a little bit about what's going to be happening with regards to that celebration.
So it's 170 years for our Vincentians in Philadelphia and the start of the Eastern Province because they you know, started in Philadelphia and then quickly traveled, you know, from Maine down to Panama and then east of the Mississippi because we're in Alabama as well. And so the idea for the gala was really to do, to gather people together to say thank you to the Vincentians for their steadfast loyalty of staying with us on the East Coast to helping with what their original mission is, which is to care of the poor and those folks who are pushed to the margins of society. And we wanted to recognize that in a big way. So we reached out far and wide to anyone who was touched by a Vincentian, either through a parish or a school. High schools that are now closed, such as St. Tommy Moore, the Vincentians really had a huge presence there to bring the alumni back in. Those parishes that have were started by Vincentians and were closed, we're bringing those parishioners back in. Folks who are dedicated to and love the Miraculous Medal Shrine, the Miraculous Medal Novena. And we're also going into the university, St. John's University and Niagara University, and we're gathering people to come up and to celebrate and to thank these Vincentians. We have got folks coming as far away as California, and we've got them coming from across the United States, which is particularly exciting.
I should mention this is Thursday, October 10th at 6 p.m. at the Lowe's Hotel in Philadelphia. Beautiful location, beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about who will be there. I am seeing here Brother Alfred Smith, Heart of Vincentian Praith and Practice Award, and the Daughters of Charity. Are you going to be honoring these particular groups?
We are. You know, this is, it's 170 years. That's historic in itself, but it's also historic that this is the first time anyone has just identified the Vincentians for a thank you. And so they've never really had a gala or a thank you in that way. And we said, we've got to go out and take a look at people or groups that are very Vincentian-like. And they walk and they talk and they live St. Vincent de Paul. And we had quite a list going, but we settled on three groups, an individual and two groups that we believe for the first celebration really speak to us of Vincent de Paul and how Vincent lived. And Brother Al Smith, who is an institution here in Germantown in Philadelphia, and the work that he has done in this community and continues to do in this community around homelessness and education. We're going to look at the Daughters of Charity, and the Daughters were here in Philadelphia before the Vincentians. And then they partnered with the Vincentians to do the work that needed to be done. There's a great partnership between the Daughters and the Vincentians. And we want to honor them for all the work they do, not only in the Eastern Province and across the United States, but across the world as well. And then the third group is the Raskob Foundation, and that is a family that has great-grandparents who started a foundation and wanted all of their monies to go towards Catholic organizations to support and promote the Catholic faith. And they are incredibly Vincentian-like in the way they identify who will receive grants around the world and locally, and are we making an impact on people. So they're the two groups and the individual that we are going to celebrate as true Vincentians as we take a look at our Vincentians of the Eastern Province.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting. How can people participate in this? Are tickets still available, or can they make donations, or how do you want to reach out to listeners to help support this cause?
Well, thank you for that offer. We appreciate it. Yes, we do have tickets that are available. If you go to the miraculousmetalshrine.org, O-R-G, or CAMM.org, there is a link there that you can purchase your tickets. If you can't attend, we're grateful for whatever donations you can give us, and there's a link there that you can donate as well, because the money goes right back into the Vincentian mission and for the cause.
And Father Carol, I'd like to talk about, we've spoken about the history, but you ongoing have such great charitable efforts right now going on in the city. Can you talk a little bit about what the Vincentians do in the city of Philadelphia currently?
Now, the great thing about St. Vincent de Paul, and we celebrate his feast on September 27th, is that St. Vincent de Paul taught us that charity is to be lived, that holiness is to be lived. It's not just something that happens between me and God, but as we know, in the Gospels, this constant call to reach out to our neighbor. So if we look at Brother Al, who we're honoring, I mean, he's a great example of this. He's been in Germantown for over 50 years. And, you know, one of his great projects during that time was a housing project before it became so popular for people to be involved in housing. And he had about 70 homes here in Germantown that he rehabbed with the help of other people. And now he is running an after-school program with Sister Rosemary Jeffers, a Trinitarian sister. And it's an after-school program for high school students in order to help them develop the skills of studying and understanding what they're learning in the classroom so that they can go on to college. And it is an amazingly successful program. Brother Al was the father of a program called Face to Face that still runs, that offers direct service to the poor. They offer a dining room. They offer showers. They offer washing machines. They offer social outreach. My place, Germantown, that was another program that had its beginnings in St. Vincent Parish, and that's a program for elderly men. It gives them a permanent residence. And then there's the DePaul House, which is run by the DePaul USA, which is an international program that offers housing for the homeless. And that particular housing is for those who you know, have been in the shelter system, and they come out of the shelter system, they're given a place to live, and they're taught the skills that they need to find a job and maintain the job. And then there's the program at St. Raymond's Convent, which is also DePaul USA, which is long-term housing for people with medical needs. So they're all programs that have been born of Brother Al and of his efforts here in Germantown.
It is so remarkable, so marvelous, so many outreaches that you have here in Philadelphia. And I know many people might remember the Vincentians and connect them with an orphanage in the city. Do you anticipate anyone is still alive now that remembers that and might be reaching out in terms of coming?
I think there are people, you know, there might still be, you know, they'd be up in years.
Yeah.
But St. Joseph's Hall, Gonzaga, it was called, which wasn't very far from here, and it was run by the Daughters of Charity, and for a long time there were women who came together on a regular basis, you know, to as Ladies of Charity, to work with the daughters in direct service and support. But they were graduates of that orphanage, and the daughters have several other orphanages as well as hospitals in the city.
Yeah, it's a piece of history we just should never forget. I wanted to talk a little bit about vocations to the Vincentians. I'm sure that's something also that you want to talk about too to our listeners. Talk a little bit about the Vincentian life, and if anyone's interested or might be thinking about a vocation, what's the particular charism of the Vincentian life as a priest or brother?
So our charism is service to the poor. Our community motto is Evangelii Zori Pauperibus Missi Mei. He has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. So this year we have four novices, and they're here right next to the Miraculous Metal office building. That's where the novitiate is. And they're there for a year, and it's an opportunity from their post-college. It's an opportunity for them to grow in their understanding of what it means to be a Vincentian, as well as to grow in their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. We also have theologians who attend the seminary right here at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary here in Philadelphia. They're preparing for the priesthood. We ordained two men last year from St. Charles, who were our seminarians. Yes, yeah, St. Charles Borromeo, we were the first faculty. Seminary wasn't located where it currently is. It was located in Center City. And we were the first, the Vincentians were the first faculty at the first George Diocesan Seminary here in Philadelphia.
Beautiful. We're speaking about the upcoming Central Association of the Miraculous Medals 170th Anniversary Gala. That's coming up again October 10th. That's a Thursday night starting at 6 p.m. at the Lowe's Hotel in Philadelphia. And this really is a call, a clarion call to all those who have so appreciated our Blessed Mother and the way that she is honored through the Miraculous Medal by the Vincentians in Philadelphia. Father, as we close, just talk a little bit about the relationship that our Blessed Mother wants to have with each one of us and the importance of devotion to her.
You know, it's a beautiful thing that Catherine Labouré, as Mother of Charity, received the Miraculous Medal from the Blessed Mother herself. The Blessed Mother told her to promulgate the medal, and that task was given to the Vincentian Fathers. Our task to share that medal with other people. And as you know, when the medal was first printed, it was called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, but it was in a very short period that it was called the Miraculous Medal. It became its popular name because miraculous things began to happen to people who wore the medal. And so it's a gift that we share with the entire church. I've heard the question raised, why did the Blessed Mother choose Catherine Labouré in Paris in 1836? There were many other religious communities, a fine religious community, but she chose Catherine Labouré. And we really believe it's because she was a daughter of charity. The Blessed Mother knew that that gift would be shared with the poor, since that was the work of the Daughters of Charity. So we continue to share that gift with everyone. We put a great deal of energy into sharing that gift with the poor. It's a great gift to work here at the Shrine.
Yes, it really is. What a privilege. Well, thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate it very much. Again, anything in closing, Mary, that you want to say about this upcoming anniversary gala?
I would welcome everyone of our listening viewers to reach out, to come. We've got room for you always, like Mary's Shrine. Her arms are open to all, so we have room for you to attend at the gala, so you can come and you can thank these Vincentians, and you'll probably bump into neighbors, long-lost neighbors, and high school graduates and colleagues that you haven't seen in a while.
Shelton Avenue, yeah.
Yeah, if you go to our miraculousmedal.org, our website, you can get all the information. You can also kind of track the history of the Vincentians. We've got a beautiful series of videos that start with the history of the Vincentians, and they tell all about the ministries, and they're beautiful. So I would encourage your listening viewers to actually take a look at the website.
And that's CAMM.org?
CAMMonline.org.
Good, perfect. Trish, I know there's a lot of resources available on the website. We were just speaking about that web address. Tell us a little bit about what's available for people who want to find out what's going on at the Shrine currently.
Okay, so we are trying to encourage all different audiences to come to our Shrine. Some of the newer initiatives we're doing are with youth and young adults. On September 23rd at 7 o'clock, we're doing a Welcome Back Novena, where college students, young professionals are invited to come for a night of fellowship and prayer, and that is at 7 o'clock at the Shrine. We also are going to do a follow-up with a happy hour in November, and December we have a community Christmas concert at 2 o'clock at the Shrine, where we invite different groups from the community, the parishes, to come and sing. This is our second year doing it, and it's been a great success. Anybody is welcome. It is free of charge. Additionally, we hold at different times of the year Catholic Business Network meetings where young professionals, any professional quite honestly, is invited to come for a night of a lecture. We alternate between professional lectures and spiritual lectures. It's a great way, too, to incorporate spirituality into your professional life and to meet fellow Catholics or Christians in the business community. So it is a networking event as well. In December, we are holding a major concert, December 11th, at the Shrine. This is with the New York Tenors. This is a paid event, and we are offering a special VIP ticket as well, but the three tenors, who are nationally, if not internationally known, will be performing a Christmas concert, and it it's basically open up to anyone who enjoys not just Christmas music, but the New York tenors themselves, who are very popular. And we have our Sala Novena. It's a 9-day novena that is being hosted starting November 18th through the 26th. This is something we do every single year. It's 9 consecutive days of prayer. And it is also going to be live streamed, so we invite those who cannot attend to go to our site and watch it via live stream. So we have a lot of things going on, a lot of exciting things we're thinking about for the next year. But we hope to bring back a lot more faith community and different people who have either been to the shrine, never been to the shrine, you know, who are interested in some of our faith-based shrines, like the Our Lady of Sion, Guadalupe. And we are also working on a new project with Our Lady of Knock in the Irish community.
Wow.
So we just want to bring back the community at large to come in and see the shrine again.
It's a great place. It's a very special place. And we are so blessed to have you in Philadelphia. Check out their website at miraculousmetal.org. Thank you so much for being with us today. And Father, before we leave, can you leave us with your priestly blessing?
We ask Almighty God to bless all of us and bless especially the listeners. And we ask Almighty God to bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we ask Mary, our mother, to watch out for each and every one of you. Oh, Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee. Thank you so much. And we'll be back with Gloria Coyne here to talk about the upcoming Catholic Charismatic Renewal Retreat taking place this weekend, so stay tuned. Welcome back. Joining us right now is Gloria Coyne. She's here to talk about the upcoming Philadelphia Catholic Charismatic Renewal Conference. That's coming up this Saturday, October 5th. Welcome, Gloria.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for having me.
Talk a little bit about this. I know that it is at the Clarion Hotel and Conference Center in Essington,
yes.
Delaware County. And it starts Saturday, October 5th at 7:30 a.m. is when the doors open. And I know that the Holy Spirit is going to light that place on fire, and it's just going to keep going.
It's just been amazing. You know, we're always excited when we do our conferences because we have nothing to do with it, really. God has everything to do with it. And if I can talk a minute about even last year, there's a game plan. And last year, our theme was Open the Eyes of My Heart. And the people that came, there was really a gift and a charism that was given to them of expectant faith. So this year, we're praying, you know, Lord, what do you want us to do for our conference? And our theme this year is from John 11:40, when then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So we feel that from that expectant faith from last year, this year, our whole focus has been on expect a miracle.
Mm.
And it's really interesting because of the fact that, you know, I mean, all of us can use a miracle. God is a miraculous God, and miracles happen constantly. You know, perhaps it's not as dramatic as parting the Red Sea, but, you know, there are so many other things. Just the day of getting up in the morning and you have another day is a miracle. So it's that kind of miracle that we need to be aware of. But more importantly, it's bringing people into our hearts that we expect a miracle for them. So it's not only for us, but it's also to, like, you know, there's the expression, pay it forward. We're praying it forward.
Mm.
So we want people to really bring people with them in their hearts that need a miracle or that have been asking for someone to pray for them. We've seen the healings that God has done on a variety of levels. It's just amazing in our prayer groups and our masses with the healing services. And so this is a whole conference. Really, it's an entire day, almost like a whole workshop dedicated to expecting faith, increasing our faith, bringing us to that point in the throne room, and then allowing God to minister to us and to others that we bring with us in our hearts.
Mm.
We've seen people healed of COPD. People have been healed for, like, neck and back pain. We've seen people that have had relationships healed. You know, their children have been away from the faith, and they brought them with them in their hearts, and then they're back to the faith again. Just all kinds of things. People have been instantaneously delivered from alcoholism or from drugs. You know, it's just an incredible time. There are all sorts of things that happen at these conferences. But as we know, the most important healing is the spiritual healing. So we've also had people that have been away from the church, and someone invited them and said, you know, you ought to come and try this and see what this is like. And I got to tell you, many of them said, like, well, I don't know, this is for me. But they're there, and they stay the day, and we've had people come back after being away from the church. One fellow was away from, like, 30-some-odd years, and he came back. Mm. And it's just an entire day set up, again, to bring you to that point. We have Flame of Love Rosary. That's going to be at 8 o'clock in the morning with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, because on Saturday, it's the Feast of St. Faustina. So it's going to be a special day for us that way as well. And then we have prayer and praise. We have our speakers this year are Bishop Sam Jacobs, Maria Vidia, and Bob Valiante will be our MC. So if any of you have been to any conferences in the past, and Bishop Sam hasn't been here for probably a good 12, 13 years, almost the same as Maria Vidia. It's been quite some time. She's been in the area. Bishop Sam has been in Charismatic Renewal for probably, oh, I'd say since the 1960s. And he served on the National Service Committee. He was Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Lake Charles in Louisiana. He's just celebrated 50 years in the priesthood, and he is so gifted and so joyful, and he has great wisdom. So he's a really beautiful teacher. He has a whole okay, blog, basically, that's called Spirit of Flame, and he does meditations, really, and insights about the readings on Sunday, and he also gives us homily. So he's just full of information. It's just really a great blessing to us to be able to come back this year. And Maria Vidia was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the late 80s, and she's just decided she gave her life to Jesus. She started the founder of the Glory of the God Foundation. So when we were asking, you know, God, like, who should we have as our speakers, and then we contacted Maria, you know, our theme, you know, didn't I tell you, you would believe you would see the glory of God, is right up her alley with the Glory of God Foundation. So she functions in miracles, signs, and wonders, and she has a beautiful healing ministry as well. So she's going to be coming. She's a dynamo. And then Bob Leonte has been doing the Scranton Conference for many, many years. It's the second largest charismatic conference in the country. And again, another person filled with the joy and the Holy Spirit. So we know it's going to be a very powerful day. Besides all of the wonderful things that we have, Jesus will be there. We have an adoration chapel, and so people can come and just spend some time with the Lord. We have the Sacrament of Reconciliation available at noontime. We are preparing for Mass, which will be done by Bishop Sam Jacobs will be the main celebrant. It'll be the vigil Mass on Saturday afternoon. And then Saturday evening, we have a time where we're going to have a Eucharistic procession, adoration, benediction, and our empowerment and healing service. And we're going to do the same this year as we did last year, which was really, that was just phenomenal. The attendees that are there at the time of our healing service called someone on the phone, and they were with us on the phone for the healing service as well. And there were healings that happened remotely from the phone calls. So we had people calling people all over the world. So we're asking if you're coming to this conference and if you feel that God's calling you to this conference this year, that you think ahead and plan and set up some people and some phone calls in advance to bring them in, again, into your heart. Maybe it's a parent calling their child and saying, just stay with me on the phone while I have this healing service. Or maybe it's a sick relative that can't make it to the conference. You know, have them available via phone. And I think it's going to be just a really beautiful, joyful, miracle-based conference this year.
Yeah, that's a great idea. If you're just joining us right now, we're speaking with Gloria Coyne, and we're talking about the upcoming Philadelphia Catholic Charismatic Conference, and that's taking place this Saturday, October 5th, at the Clarion Hotel and Conference Center in Essington, Delaware County, Pennsylvania. Again, the doors open at 7:30 a.m. You can find out all about it by going to phillyspirit.com or calling 215-315-7008. Gloria, I really do think that it's very important what you mentioned about bringing someone. So often we just sort of think of these things for ourselves, but how important is it to just make the invitation?
It really is. And again, that's the whole thing, that the gifts we're given is not just for ourselves, but it's to be shared. So, you know, if you have the great blessing of being called to the conference, then share that gift with others as well. And I'll tell you the other thing that's really nice, we just rejoice when people are healed. It's just so uplifting, and it helps our faith because we see God working in someone's life. You know, it's just such a great blessing. You know, we cheer when someone has a healing. We use all the different charismatic gifts. And at the healing service, there's a gift called a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy. And, you know, again, Jesus does all the healing. It's not the person. But they're the conduit for the Holy Spirit to work through. And so they might call out a healing. You know, someone might be healed. You know, we've had, you know, I feel Jesus is healing knees. And we'll have people that will stand up and say, like, my knees, you know, it was hurting and now it feels better. Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing that occurs. So when those things happen, we rejoice with everyone because it's just such, you see God working and how much he loves us. All miracles come from the love of God.
Gloria, how important is it to allow people to understand if they feel the charismatic movement is something that they're uncomfortable with, that you have sessions during the day to explain how this works, correct?
Yeah, we do. We have what we're calling a newcomer's talk. So, we spend a few minutes taking people and explaining about charismatic renewal. And there's a lot of interesting things that are going on in the church. We'll have to spend some time going over that with you. But just recently in June, I was invited over at Pentecost to Rome for the meetings. And Pope Francis has just started a new initiative called Charis. And it really refocuses on the importance and the mission of charismatic renewal as a grace for the entire church. So during that time in our conference, we explain all about charismatic renewal, what's going on now, what the Holy Spirit's doing in Rome and in the Vatican and in the world in general as it relates to charismatic renewal. And then we also explain about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then later on during the day, if people are interested, we actually will bring them up and we'll pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit for them. It's not a new sacrament. You've received everything you need to receive in baptism and confirmation. But are you familiar with Father Renero Consolamessa?
Yes, he was the papal preacher, wasn't he, for a long time for John Paul II?
That's right, right. And for a number of popes, and also for Pope Benedict, as well as for Pope Francis. He's now the ecclesial assistant for this new organization, basically, of Charis. And when he came to America, he said he came as Saul and he left as Paul. And the difference was that people prayed for him. Charismatics, lay people, prayed over him for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there was another priest that was in Argentina, and he said, you know, I never understood these charismatics. He said, you know, they were always moving and dancing all around. He thought it was some sort of a samba school. And he ended up becoming the liaison for the bishops in Argentina, and then eventually he became Pope Francis. So there's another one that was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he recognized the value of that. Bishop Sam Jacobs was also a priest for 6 years, and he said he felt like something was missing. And so I said, you know, I don't understand that, because I said, you know, the priests receive holy orders. You know, why do you feel something was missing? And he said, it was kind of a very interesting thing. He said, priests are focused on the people and ministering outward towards them, and many times they neglect their own hearts. And so when he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, he got it. He understood. So Father Renero Cantalamessa calls the graces we've received in baptism and confirmation as a bound sacrament. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is just that moment in our lives when we say, we recognize that, you know, we're sinners, that we make Jesus the Lord of our life, and we invite him in a more powerful way. It's that fiat that the Blessed Mother has given. And so we're just giving our fiat as well. And we invite the Holy Spirit to come in. And from that, it's transformational. I've seen so many people that, you know, the before and the after, but it's, you feel that overwhelming presence of God. You feel the love of God, and you know God cares for you and loves you on a personal level. And it just really changes everything. So Pope Francis has encouraged us to spread this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we are a conduit of that here for Philadelphia. And we encourage everyone to come and receive that. I also wanted to mention, Barbara, that we have a special Love in Our Hearts, too, for the millennials, the youth, the young adults, and we have special pricing for them this year. We also encourage families to come. So, you know, we don't want it to be where, you know, maybe one parent says, well, I can go, but you can't go because you have to take care of the kids. Bring them all. So children under 10 are free, 11 to 17 years of age, $10. We have group rates as well for people. Adults ages 18 to 35 are $25, and the adult ticket price is $40. So they can register online. They could register at the door. Online, you can purchase tickets at eventbrite.com, eventbrite.com. And then just search for the Philadelphia Catholic Charismatic Conference 2019. And certainly go to Philly Spirit, and you have all of the various links to do that. Or you could register at the door. So whatever is more convenient.
Thank you so much. We're speaking with Gloria Coyne. She's talking again about the Philadelphia Catholic Charismatic Renewal Conference coming up this Saturday, October 5th, at the Clarion Hotel and Conference Center in Essington, Delaware County, Pennsylvania. Gloria, thank you so much for your time. Do you want to leave us with a prayer as we close out?
Sure. Father God, we come to you this day, and we bring everyone that you've given us, and people that have asked for prayers, all the desires of our hearts for other people. We ask also that you light a fire in all of us right now so that we can be that light in the darkness that you've called us to be, and we can spread the love of Jesus Christ to the whole world. We ask, Father, this in Jesus' mighty name, with the intercession of Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, all the angels and saints, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Gloria, for your time and for letting us know about this very exciting and we're expecting something great to happen event happening this Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, Barbara.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back after this short break. We'll be joined by Sonia Corbett talking about her new book, How to Pray Like Mary. Welcome back. Joining us right now is Sonia Corbett. She's written a new book called How to Pray Like Mary. This is put out by Ascension Press. Welcome, Sonia.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what was the inspiration for this book?
Oh, well, the inspiration for How to Pray Like Mary was, it came out of my relationship with her, which was pretty much non-existent as a non-Catholic. And even as I came into the church, she was really the most difficult idea to get my head around. Mm-hmm. Although I guess I should say my heart, because I understood her, the dogma and the doctrine surrounding her. I understood it, and I understood why she's so important, but I just didn't know her at all. And it still seemed very odd to me that she got so much attention. So I finally just went to her. That's kind of my style. And I just said, I think this is so weird, and I don't know, I don't know what to do except to just ask you for help. And so she did. And what happened is that she connected with me on a level that I already understood and loved, and that's in the scriptures. And so what she showed me was that she herself has a love for the word, the scriptures too. And I was amazed by that. I have never thought about the fact that she would, but she does. And she loves the word so much that it became incarnate in her, and she was able to give him to the whole world. And so that's the premise of the whole book.
Now, you talk about how Mary pondered the word of God in her heart, and you have come up with an acronym. And I wonder if this is kind of like maybe a little bit like Lectio Divina for some people in the Catholic faith that are familiar with taking scripture and kind of really,
yes,
listening to it and letting God speak through it.
Well, the acronym is actually LOVE, and L is for listen. And when we think about praying, you know, the book title is How to Pray Like Mary. When you think about prayer, usually we think about saying things. And what I discovered is that she listens to God speak, and she listens to him on a daily basis. And it is a play on Lectio Divina, the whole process, listen, observe, verbalize, and trust. It's somewhat of a play on Lectio Divina, but you know, for people who don't practice that and have no idea what it is, but right. want to spend time in prayer with the scriptures, the acronym LOVE is just much easier to remember, first of all. And secondly, it just really guides you into exactly how to interpret what you're hearing. So, yes, the first part is listening, because Pope Francis called Mary the mother of listening. And that's kind of part of where the whole idea to just go to her and ask her kind of came from, because I had included an excerpt from a sermon that he had done, a homily. And it just kind of stuck with me, and I kept thinking, wow, mother of listening, what does that mean? And then I realized, you know, when she sort of tried to connect with me, that was the beginning for her of everything. She already had a listening discipline. She prayed the fixed hour prayer of Judaism. She would have done that. And so that's why when she praised God through the Magnificat, what came out was the Song of Hannah in the Old Testament. And some of the Psalms, too, were sort of combined in her Magnificat. And so she listens first. She lets God speak. And God speaks to us, too, every single day in the readings of the Mass. And if we can't do all of the readings, we can definitely do just the Gospel. That takes nothing but 5 minutes. But do it every day for 40 days, because 40 in the scriptures is the number of gestation. And that's what she did. She gestated that word until it was born. And so that's what we want to do, too. We follow her example. So we listen first, yes.
And then observe?
And then we observe, yes. The thing that Pope Francis and Pope Benedict said about Mary, the reason they said specifically that the reason she was so holy is because she knew how to ponder the word of God in her heart, specifically her relationships and her circumstances. So we go to the word and we listen every day to the Gospel, what God is saying to us there, and then we start to observe our own relationships and circumstances. How does the word that we hear in that Gospel every day apply to something that's going on in my life, in my relationships and circumstances? And that's part of what they say made Mary so holy. That was it. She knew how to ponder God's word in her heart. She knew how to interpret it, because she knew where to look. And that's where we need to be looking. A lot of times, you know, we pray about situations and they don't get better because we're not listening to what God wants to do there. And so he gives us that information through his word. So we listen, we observe, and then we verbalize back to God what we think he's telling us. Mary did that through the Magnificat. Once she knew that Elizabeth understood what was going on, it just erupted from her, that praise. And so we too, then we verbalized, we are created actually a Pray Like Mary journal specifically for that endeavor, because it's, psychologists tell us that it's very, very good to process our information that way, because healing comes out of it. And that I experienced that myself. So, and God was constantly asking people, Elijah for one, he was constantly asking people to verbalize to him how they were feeling and what they were thinking and why they were doing the things they were doing. And it's not because God doesn't know, it's because he knows it's good for us. So we listen, we observe, we verbalize, and then the last step is E, in trust. Mary said, may it be done to me according to your word. And so how can we say that with her? May it be done to me according to your word, Lord, if we're not listening to him in the word, if we don't know the word, if we don't have it within us, and if we're not reading it on a daily basis. So in order to pray like her, we do those four things that she modeled. We listen, we observe, we verbalize, we entrust.
And we should point out, we're speaking with Sonia Corbett, that we should point out that it may not come immediately. I mean, sometimes just showing up and allowing the time for you to get into the rhythm of a daily prayer habit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through your distractions sometimes can take time.
It definitely takes time. That's why it's important to commit to 40 days, because I remember when I first started, I went to a mentor and I said, nothing's happening. And she said, I promise you he'll show up if you continue to show up. She said, how long have you been doing it? And I said, 5 days. And she said, no, you got to stick with it. And the day he showed up for the very first time was on day 26. And I know for sure because of a story that I actually share in that book, but it was on day 26. And there's no way you can possibly question that it's him when he does that. You know that you know, and he speaks directly to you about your circumstances and your relationships, and it is the most amazing thing in the whole world. And once he does, then he teaches us to stay with it in discipline. So we have to be disciplined at least for 40 days, but I can guarantee and I will promise that he will show up if we stay with it for that long.
Sonia, tell us a little bit about your own life story, your conversion. That everybody always likes to hear about how God works in their lives.
Well, it's interesting because I had a scripture habit, and what I share in the book is what he said to me the very first time. I have battled anger and rage my entire life. I have what now I know. I have what I call a father wound. I didn't know that at the time, but that's why I was so angry. And that was the very first thing he said to me in Proverbs chapter 26, on day 26, in that chapter, he said, "As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." And it was the coarseness, I think, of the language there that I just thought, what? I mean, that's disgusting. But it was true for me, because I had a habit of lashing out aggressively in anger, and God began to deal with me immediately about it. And once he pointed it out, he began a process of pointing out my sin, because it was a predominant fault, is what the saints call it. But he began a process of pointing out my sin and then pointing to the wound underneath it, calling me to change my behavior. And he walked with me the whole way, and he did it through the scriptures. And so what I found is, it was kind of what I call a perfect storm. I had a friend who came into the church at Easter Vigil, and I went to kind of support her, even though I thought it was weird. And I left there. I was already writing and teaching my own studies. And so I was doing some church history. I was being educated in my own father wound and the things that were, you know, what I was doing, my behaviors. And at the same time, we were experiencing church splits. We had, in our little church, our church split twice in 5 years. And my husband and I were both in leadership. And I know what the Bible says about how God provides for his people and his pastors. And I was not seeing it. And so combining the church splitting, which came from rebellion and anger, added to my own education in that very same subject, I knew that what they were doing was evil and that it was wrong and that that was not what God wanted for his church. And at the same time, as I said, I was writing my own material. So I was doing some church history research, and I had gone to a mass. So it all sort of converged to suck me down into the neck of the funnel. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder, you know, I need to go check out this whole Martin Luther thing. And I began to read Martin Luther in his own words. And what I discovered is that Martin Luther had a father wound, and it caused him to do exactly the same things in his life and in the church that they were causing me to do. And so I knew beyond any shadow of any doubt that that was a church split that he initiated, and that has reverberated throughout the time since then. And so then I had to decide, well, can I tolerate what the church teaches? And then it was about a year's process from start to finish. And so I spent a lot of time reading the catechism and trying to find out from the church's own mouth what she teaches and not what I had been taught that she teaches. So all of that sort of converged. And within about a year, I was in. And actually, one of the things that blew my mind as I was coming into the church for the very first time, when I realized that what I had been doing in the scriptures and what Protestants do is they pick and choose what they want to read. But the first time I realized that that liturgy is God's word to his church on a daily basis, and that we're all reading the same readings, but we're getting something individual and personal from God, each of us. So it's collective in the liturgy, but it's also individual and personal because of that. And when I first noticed that, when I first realized it, I thought, holy moly, God is so smart. Yeah. And he's, you know, the church had been doing it for thousands of years. And I, you know, as a Protestant, I thought we invented it. But no, you know, it's been part of the liturgy of the church from the very, very beginning. Yes, that absolutely blew my mind. It was beautiful.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, the liturgy itself is scriptural. I mean, all the words that we are
exactly
using.
Yes, I wrote a whole study on that called Fulfilled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should mention that real quickly. Talk a little bit, Sonia, about that.
So Fulfilled is part of what brought me into the Catholic Church, because I realized exactly what you said. Everything that I was watching in a mass, and not just the liturgy, but the teachings of the church that are so controversial to a Protestant, purgatory, priesthood, an institutional priesthood anyway, Mary, just all the Eucharist, incense, the magisterium, all of the things that can be so very controversial to a Protestant are the foundations of all of that is in the Old Testament tabernacle and the way God set up worship and how he loves liturgy. How do I know? Because he gave his people a liturgy in the Old Testament.
Exodus.
So
yeah.
He's not going to change his mind in the New Testament.
Right.
You know, I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
But
right,
that's
right.
What Fulfilled is about. It shows how the Old Testament tabernacle contains all of the elements of Catholic worship. And it's, in fact, the Catholic Church is the only church that retains all of those elements. And God said from the beginning they should be perpetual. And only in the Catholic Church are they perpetual.
One of the raps we also get in the Catholic Church is that we are not women empowering, that somehow we are so archaic in the way that we view women. Now, when you studied Mary and you saw her role as the Mother of God and so many strong saints that the Church venerates, doctors of the Church, really, did this also help you in terms of shape your understanding of how the Church views women?
It absolutely did. And I will say that in my experience, I have experienced the complete opposite. So coming into the Catholic Church, I was nervous. You know, I thought, well, I guess my whole ministry is over because there's not a place for me. But what I discovered is my bishop and my pastor, and here is part of how God has used all of this to really heal me. Because he used the proper authorities to begin lifting me up in a way that was so affirming. I mean, to have a hierarchy write you letters of recommendation and send you out to speak places, you know, and give you an imprimatur for your book and give you a platform to use your gifts, it was a complete reversal of what I had experienced as a Protestant. And then, of course, yes, seeing Mary and seeing those saints and the doctors, the women doctors of the church. So I was very blessed in so many ways, but in a personal healing way, that God used the legitimacy of the Catholic Church and the hierarchy to affirm me through the very things that had previously hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been amazing. So, yes, there is a place for each of us. We just have to be careful to obey God and not rebel. And I think that's probably why he allowed me to experience such affirmation, you know, because I was really so careful to not be rebellious against proper authority. Cause I, you know, my whole life has been my spiritual formation has been on that topic. So
we've talked about liturgy. We've talked about Mary. We've talked about women's role in the Catholic Church. What do you see going forward in terms of, I know there's a lot of controversy right now regarding women diaconesses and the priesthood and things like that. I mean, women certainly do have a role, and it's certainly a powerful one, but it is not the manly role of Christ in the sacramental functions.
No, it's not, and that's another thing that the Old Testament covered very clearly. So Miriam rebelled against Moses, her brother, and Aaron, her brother, who was the high priest. She rebelled against them, and she had a very lofty position herself. She was a prophetess, and so she had a leadership role in the camp, in God's people, but she wasn't them. She had her own role, but it wasn't enough, and so she tried to usurp that position, and she ended up being corrected publicly, and in a way that was really humiliating. And they had to be the ones to pray for her. So the very ones that she was, you know, trying to sort of usurp had to be the ones who prayed her out of the punishment that she incurred publicly. And so there are lots of instances where he's careful to point out what he wants. And when we stay in those boundaries, we're perfectly safe. But when we try to usurp our own position, the position that God wants us to fill is abdicated and things don't get done that only we could do. Yeah, you know, we always want what we can't have or what we think we can't have rather than resting in the provision of God for us. And what I have found, and I see this throughout the scriptures everywhere, Mary is a great example of this. Mary did not defend herself. She did not grasp at anything. God came to her, she accepted, and she didn't defend herself at all. Instead, God defended her. And I mean, look at her now. Mary Magdalene, the same thing. She poured out that expensive oil on his feet, and the apostles went, you know, crazy, and Jesus defended her. So we don't have to grasp at anything. And in our humility, God will defend us. And when he does, you have been defended. There is no argument. Everyone knows it.
The book, again, is called How to Pray Like Mary. It's put out by Ascension Press. And we should point out, too, that not only can you buy the book, but there is also some video material available with that if you'd like to access that. Talk a little bit about that, Sonia.
So each of the chapters has a supplementary video where I just go into a little deeper teaching than I could do in the length of the book. It also has a set of videos that correspond to the prayer and temperaments that were put forward in that book, Prayer and Temperament, by Michaels and Norrissey. And so we go through those four. That's also an acronym, FIAT. So Franciscan, Ignatian, Augustine, and Thomistic, and we go through in those videos what each of those are and how they help us pray better. And so both of those sets of videos are available on the Ascension site.
And you can buy them together as a bundle, and there's a reduction in price to do that.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, we've been speaking with Sonia Corbett. Again, the book is How to Pray Like Mary. You can find it at Ascension Press. Sonia, do you want to give out a website or some more information on where people can find you?
I would love to. My website is BibleStudyEvangelista.com. I have a Catholic TV series that begins airing Sunday at 8:30, and we're talking about anger and men. It's called 12 Angry Men, 12 people in the Bible where God kind of confronts them about their anger, and he helps them work through it. And all my books are available there. I do retreats. I do speaking stuff. Everything is right there. That's really... I also have a weekly podcast that I do, an ongoing series. We just finished up the 7 I Am Statements of Jesus. So all that's available at BibleStudyEvangelista.com.
Great. Sonia Corbett, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks for listening, and we will be back again with you next week.